Heavenly Father, we thank you for our scripture readings that remind us that we are chosen. You call us by name and invite us into your glorious kingdom of light. And so help us to be strengthened in our inner self through the word today and through the sacrament of the Eucharist, that we can say with St. Paul, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. My dad always had a question about that passage. What does that mean? Many are invited, but few are chosen. So I told him, I said, well, you become chosen when you accept the invitation to become a disciple. And the reality of our discipleship is always to know more deeply the love of God in Christ Jesus and to experience the wonderful activity and outpouring of the Holy Spirit who guides and strengthens us in our inner self. St. John in his gospel put it so eloquently. In the 17th chapter, he says, now this is eternal life, that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. So that's what we're all about, is deepening our relationship with the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to shape us, to convert us, so that we reach our full maturity as followers of Christ and love God and love people. And I can remember when I came into that relationship and entered into a personal relationship with Christ my junior year of high school, getting very involved in our youth group and very disappointed. It was just mainly social. You know, there was very little talk about faith. We didn't read the Bible. One night we watched Monty Python, The Holy Grail. Sorry, not a fan. That's not my line of humor. And then one day we made paper airplanes and sailed them off the front steps of the church. Pizza parties, basketball, but very little substance, very little fellowship in sharing your faith and how you can grow and become a better Catholic. So I was really disillusioned and very disappointed. But then God in his goodness, you know, patiently waiting another year, entering college, I found the most amazing prayer group. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to learn and grow and just develop some wonderful spiritual friendships that I still enjoy to this day. And so God always has another plan, but sometimes we go through those periods of our life where we're looking for something more. And in our Catholic Church, we don't find it because I don't know if we're afraid to really proclaim our faith and, you know, share it with people. Or we're just confused or not enthusiastic about it. But sometimes you find more zeal and enthusiasm outside the Catholic Church. I attended a conference on Friday up in Arlington with Katie Souza. She was one of the speakers with us in Boston, and I got to go pick her up at the airport and have dinner with her and get to know her. And she has a very fascinating testimony. She was actually a convict and in jail and had this St. Paul-like visitation and became a believer and now travels all over the country and helps people experience liberation from oppressive things, from the devil and everything. And she's very dynamic and funny, has a great sense of humor. But we were in the auditorium there in Arlington, and people came with an expectant faith. I mean, we raised the roof with the music, and a lot of incredible things happened at the end of her talk where people were delivered from trauma and different things in their lives because they came expecting the Lord to do something. So we always want to come to our celebrations of Mass with an expectant faith. We're not spectators, we're participating. God has something for each one of us today in this Mass. Do you believe that? That he wants in some way to touch you and strengthen you through the challenging situations you're going through right now in your life? Sometimes we come and we just don't expect much, we don't do much, and we don't get much, right? Knock and the door will be open. Seek and you shall find. So we pray for the Holy Spirit to really fire inside our hearts a desire, a holy desire to go deeper into the realm of discipleship and experience the fullness of grace that God wants to give each one of us. And we realize too that, you know, we're not going to see the fulfillment of all of that on this earth. The first reading from Isaiah 25 is a beautiful reading, and it's used a lot in funerals. On this mountain, the Lord will destroy the veil that veils all people. He will destroy death itself. And a feast with choice wines and good food. Doesn't that sound great? Beats my TV dinners in my freezer that I'm going to have for lunch today. And God is going to bring us to that fulfillment of our heart's desire. But for now, we just we're kind of in groaning like labor pains, like Paul says, because we look at the world and the horrible things going on in the Holy Land right now, the atrocities, the disrespect for human life, and we're like, gee, Lord, we just seem so far away from you. Bring us back. You know, I mentioned last week that, you know, some people thought something, a sign was going to be given on October 13th. As far as I could tell, I didn't see anything. It wasn't supposed to be a dramatic sign like, you know, shake you up and everything. But that doesn't mean that we're not still supposed to be prepared in a state of grace and, you know, actively seeking to help people come into the family of God. So prophecy is a hard thing, and trying to figure out that the hand and the movement of the Holy Spirit. And I told you last week, the Catholic teaching is always very simple. Just be ready. You know, be ready, be in a state of grace. Be ready at all times, because you never know when you're going to take your last breath or what's going to happen tomorrow. So if you've got somebody in your family you haven't talked to for years, ask the Holy Spirit to help you start working on it. Don't put that stuff off. You're going to be really sorry if you die and you're not reconciled with people in your family, or you didn't even make the effort to do that. Life is short. We just lost a priest at 55 years old. They found him a couple weeks ago dead in the rectory on Sunday afternoon. He went to the same seminary I did, and that was a startling reminder to me that I'm just a year younger than him, and who knows what tomorrow may bring. So live your day, like my dad used to tell us, every day is a gift from God, live it well. Amen? Amen. But we will have our tears wiped away, and I'm looking forward to that, because as we look around now, we just see so much brokenness and oppression from the enemy. And so we want to be able to say with St. Paul, I can be content because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And lastly, the gospel reading, you know, the man showed up without a wedding garment, and that means that he didn't undergo a process of conversion. He wasn't prepared for the wedding banquet. And there's a lot of emphasis right now in the Catholic Church about welcoming people, and we do need to be welcoming. We've done things in the past that really send people away and isolate them. I could tell you story after story. And it's not just priests. I mean, lay people can be mean to one another too, right? And not welcome people who come to our church and who are struggling with life, and we just kind of in our own little world and we don't really reach out to them. We do need to be welcoming. But there isn't enough emphasis on the reality that, but we need to change, repent and convert and believe in the good news, that we have to all undergo our own personal process of conversion, where we die to sin and selfishness and rise to that fullness of life in Christ, where we think of the other. We're not just in our own little world. The world revolves around me. And we see that behavior in the stores, on the freeway. If somebody's delayed for a few minutes, they pop their head out of the car and say the most hateful things. That just happened to me last week. I was with somebody in the car, and something happened, and this person just started honking and stuck their head out of the car and said some things that I can't repeat in church, nor do I wish to. And I was so tempted to respond. It's like, oh, but then zip it. Because that kind of stuff escalates. You could pull out a gun or some road rage or something like that. But just people are coming unhinged because they're not close to God. And they're not taking the time to seek him with their heart and think about others, you know. I was in the store once and somebody just berated the clerk because we had to wait in line for a while. It wasn't her fault that the manager staffed the store so poorly, but she just lit into her and it was really nasty. So I did say something, but not directly to her. I said it loud enough so she could hear me as she was walking out the door. And she turned around and went like this. The Mary and the librarian look, you know. But I just said, I'm not going to treat you the way that woman just treated you. It's not her fault. But people are just displaying the most grotesque behavior sometimes. And we have to be different as Christians. We need to welcome the Lord and just say, help me to do the best I can to be a sign of your love in the midst of this chaos. You know, my theme this year, grace in the midst of chaos, right? Works for me. So I want to share with you an inspirational quote from, I think somebody who's going to be a saint someday, hopefully in our lifetime. His name is Father Alfred Delp. He was a man who stood up against the terrorism of the Nazis and critiqued Hitler, and that cost him his life. He was put in jail and then executed. So while he was in jail, he wrote a number of letters. They're called the Prison Letters of Alfred Delp. And I think that the Lord uses those situations to give us the most profound teachings and writings, because when you're in a situation like that, your faith is all you have. I mean, you're just surrounded by people in this horrible environment. So he was reflecting on the goodness of God, and that if you can call God your Father and come to him, he will provide for you even in the most difficult situations. And that's really what St. Paul was saying in that fourth chapter of Philippians today. I'm content of having nothing, and I know how to live with abundance. The secret is I trust in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? So he wrote this shortly before he was executed. God is Father, as source, as guide, as comforter. These are the inner resources with which a man can withstand the mass assault of the world. And this is no mere figure of speech. It is actual fact. The man of faith is aware of the solicitude, the compassion, the deep-seated support of Providence in innumerable silent ways, even when he is attacked from all sides and the outlook seems hopeless. God offers words full of wonderful comfort and encouragement. He has ways of dealing with the most desperate situations. All things have a purpose, and they help again and again to bring us back to our Father. So may we have that confidence this week in our own lives. No matter what challenging situations we face, the Lord is with us, he loves us, and he'll give us the support we need to serve him well. Amen?
Amen.